Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President, CEO of The Wine Growers. Here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Jamming.
And it's still
good
July.
Times. It is still July. It's still the summer.
Yeah.
It's still the summer. I'm coming off a little vacation, so I'm in great spirits.
Do you want to tell us more? Do you have any?
No,
that's it.
No, that was it.
Okay,
vacations. That's all I got.
Vacations keep secret.
That's all I got.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So rolling through, I think Wine Growers, one of our next big things is we are hosting a group of Psalms with the Psalm Journal at the end of this month. So we're gearing up for that with Meredith.
I think I know
May.
About that. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
I know Meredith. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. We're still kind of planning. Our part of it is going to be our truck talks, which is kind of the thing we do to really showcase agriculture and our farmers here. So we send folks out in small groups. Literally, they all get picked up at the same time, head out in trucks across the county, where our growers will take them to their home ranch or a vineyard. And literally, our only requirement of the farmers, they get to have a full kind of farmer immersion, is that at some point, they are drinking the wine from the vineyard where the grapes were grown. So there's this really direct connection back to what's the soil like, what's the vineyard like, spacing, climate, you know, topography, everything that goes into that wine. So I think it's just always a favorite, I think, experience folks have when they actually get to go out with the farmers and kind of see what their world is like and hear about wine through their filter and their lens of wine.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I mean, certainly for these people that are in front of consumers, you know, trying to get them excited about a wine, to be able to kind of tell a personal anecdote or to remember something specific is hugely helpful.
Yeah. And I think it's really fun to have, you know, the farmer stories, and they're not always connected to wineries. So sometimes you're just talking to a farmer that's growing grapes for a number of different wineries, and how to even thinking through like those partnerships and relationships and history and handshake deals that maybe have happened for generations, I think is really, again, part of that rich story, at least of Sonoma County.
Well, and it's good to get some of these sommeliers who maybe have never been in a truck.
I know, right?
Never worn anything other than a suit.
I know.
You know, and
get them out. I know we have to prepare them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, wear sunscreen, wear shoes that you can wear out in a vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
try
prepare
not to
yourself.
Stay up till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Drink lots of water. Yeah.
There's only so much we can do with that.
I know, there's nothing you can do about that.
It is a group of Psalms. So they typically come in and enjoy themselves quite immensely when they get to hang out with each other.
They keep late hours, let's just say. But opposite of farmers.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of our first. We're doing several. I kind of characterize our year as like the January through June is us on the road. And yes, we're hosting people throughout that time, but really like out in the market. And then sort of our July through October, November, we are hosting folks here, which makes sense as the harvest starts to get underway and it's beautiful and there's so much more activity happening in the vineyards, on the ranches. So this will be our first Psalm group, and then we're hosting the Guild Psalm Psalms in early September, and then Ray Isle will be joining us from Food & Wine Magazine, the executive wine editor, to host a Psalm camp in the middle of September. So all things hosting Psalms, experiences,
camping. And do you have some people from the Minnesota Wine Auction coming to the camp? Is that the same camp?
It's a different, so thank you. That's our grape camp we are bringing back. So there's Psalm camp, not to be confused with grape camp. So for 10 years, we did something called grape camp. It was literally a consumer immersion in Sonoma County, kind of an all-access pass. We're, you know, creating and curating experiences that you can't necessarily get if you just show up in the region and are booking tasting appointments and, you know, kind of experiencing Sonoma County. So we are doing that. We haven't done it in a couple of years. And we actually had folks asking. I had some grape campers that were last here, I think in 17. They'd done grape camp twice. They're from Seattle area, and they reached out to me on Facebook message and was like, do you still do this? We're trying to find information. I know. Are we trying to find information? They actually did it. It's so funny. These campers did our radio show back with Steve Jackson like years ago when they were in town talking about how much fun grape camp was. So it really kind of inspired us to say, maybe it's time to bring grape camp back. So we have folks from Minnesota coming, already signed up. our friends from Seattle are definitely coming.
Amazing.
Bringing friends. So all things camp, which makes so much sense. And who doesn't, I mean, what adult doesn't like this idea of going back to camp?
Mm. I see some future guests too. That I like that idea.
Yeah. I know. I think that's really fun to get folks in that are visiting, get their perspective.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
we will
be getting some perspectives today, I hope, about Petaluma Gap and some events that are coming up when we come back on The Good Stuff. For joining us on today's Good Stuff, we have not one, but two guests in studio. Kevin Versofsky, owner winemaker of Montagna Russe Wines, and Steve San Giacomo, returning guest, I should say. Third generation wine grower, partner at San Giacomo Wines. And I mean, we needed more than one person to talk about Petaluma Gap because it's that
important.
Important.
And interesting.
So welcome.
Well, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
So excited.
Yes.
Yeah. It's great to have you both. Maybe we just start with a little bit of kind of background on who you both are besides the title and what you do. So, yeah, let's kick it off.
Well, I'm Kevin Versofsky. As you can see by my hat, I'm an East Coast transplant, diehard Orioles fan,
which
is not going well right now, but that's fine. I came to California in 2005. I was an ex-chef, and now I got a job up in Napa. I started making wine in my garage. My neighbor called alcohol, tobacco, and firearms on me.
That happens. In Napa.
That happens.
In Napa.
I think it's because I parked in front of his trash cans, but that's St. Helena.
That should have sparked a different result and response than that.
Well, it sparked a result, shall we say. So I went legit in 2015. Now we're making wines almost exclusively out of the Petaluma Gap. I make wine from the San Giacomo's vineyard as well. So, and now we're moving our taste room from Healdsburg to Petaluma. So it's an exciting time for us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where's it going in Petaluma?
Two doors down from Della Frittoria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right on the main drag.
Yeah, that's a great location.
Yep, it's going to have records and wine. So if you're interested in either of those, swing on by.
Big or like 45s records?
I have some 45s, but they're super annoying, so we'll just stick with the big ones.
45s? Do you have a record player that plays 45s?
No, do you know, I did. Well, I had an old Seaburg jukebox that I lost in the 17 fires.
No.
And so when I would travel, I would go and find 45 records to update my jukebox. So that was something, and people would give them to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I collected 45s, and I'm debating getting another jukebox just so I kind of have that goal when I travel, because it's a fun thing to collect.
I have 200 of them where I know where you can get them real cheap.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's a good...
Records, not jukeboxes.
45s.
45s.
Yes.
Okay, we have a source. All right, Steve, top that.
Oh, God, that's tough, Kevin. Your story's pretty impressive there, you know?
It's infamous.
Yeah, I don't...
Did you have any neighbors turn you in, Steve?
Yeah, I was going through. We've had...
You're
My grandfather probably had, you know, back in the day, I'm sure when he was settling in Sonoma in the 20s, he did go through the, you know, the prohibition, so I'm sure there was the... You know, so he came over in 1927, and it was pear orchards. He had one small vineyard out. You know, we say we've been farming grapes since 1969, but we actually probably in the 27, there was a small vineyard out front of his house that he tried to make wine, and it turned into the best vinegar you could ever make. And our grandmother's an Italian cook, and she loved it. She encouraged him to try to make wine because she knew she was going to get some great vinegar.
Oh, so. My gosh.
Nothing goes to waste.
Exactly.
That's important.
Yeah,
that's true. Farming, especially, right? Mm.
For sure. So, I know we've been in Sonoma since 1927, pear orchards for their first 45, and, you know, wine grapes are last... almost 55. We'll be celebrating 100 years here in a couple of years. And so we've
incredible.
Farmed mostly Pinot Noir and Chardonnay in Carnera, Sonoma Coast, and then the Petaluma Gap.
Mm-hmm.
So we planted our first vineyard at Petaluma Gap in 1990, our Lakeville vineyard. I wasn't Petaluma Gap then because Petaluma Gap didn't get its AVA status. So I think 2017.
Yeah.
So we were farming, and that actually area has. It was like prohibition kind of obviously killed that. There's a whole little thriving grape growing region in Petaluma there that prohibition took away. And then we started planting in the 90s, and then kind of Petaluma Gap became its thing. And then so we developed our Roberts Road vineyard that Kevin gets fruit from in 1999.
Mm-hmm. So I think that if memory serves me correctly, like was that the first one that was really you and your brother taking the reins and getting
my brother came back in 92, I came back in 97. We always say that Roberts Road was kind of the passing of the torch vineyard because our dad was very good at finding areas of Sonoma that haven't been discovered because he guess we find areas that are discovered, the land's pretty affordable when you find it. So he figured that out. Wow. And so we found that 99. There's nothing around there. Now there's Gap's Crown. There's a handful of other vineyards right in that area, Petaluma Gap. But he handed it to my brother and I and said, all right, you guys develop it. You pick out the rootstocks, clones, and so we had to do all the fun, dirty work. I guess.
Very dirty.
And so that's why I always joke. It's like the passing of the torch vineyard. So
yeah,
and
then, big deal.
Yeah.
Nice. So you sell grapes to a lot of different people. How is Kevin as a client?
He's right at the top of the list. I'm not telling you which list. So.
Which list?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
They've always gotten paid.
Yes, there you go.
Like that makes you on the good list for
exactly.
sure. For any farmer, if you're paying the bills, you're a good list.
These guys are awesome, by the way. I mean, they've done everything from deliver one bin of grapes, 10 miles away to actually offer to pick someone else's grapes for me when his crew went down. So amazing. That is unheard of. I'm also the chief financial officer of Maryville, and I've convinced them to use Roberts Road Chardonnay as well. So we love the relationship, and their name comes up more often than not as the archetype of who you'd want to work with as a grower. Yeah. So it's the people, mm-hmm. it's the grapes, but it's really the people. And that's why we work with the San Giacomos.
I love it.
Perfect. Good. You're a PR guy.
He's
sliding a 20
over.
Exactly. Kevin and, we sell to 90 wineries, and majority of them are, small, artistic, beautiful brands like Kevin's. And for us, it's, kind of what makes our mm-hmm. industry is so special, right? We can have all these artistic expressions of these amazing sites in Sonoma County. I mean, of course, we need ones that go on throughout the United States, right? Where there's 60,000 acres in Sonoma County. So we need, there's some, big, grocery store brands out there, which we need to move grapes and stuff. But it's great to have, brands like Kevin that can really show the specialness of this county.
Trust me, when I'm flying through airports, I appreciate Sonoma Couture and La Crema and KJ a lot.
Yeah,
that's true.
As growers, so do we.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Kevin, talk a little bit. So you got into wine. Like, what do you make and what will you be pouring in your tasting room? And what got you into wine in the first place to even be dabbling in your garage and getting into trouble with it?
Really good question. So I obviously I'm an East Coaster. I had an engineering
with questionable taste in sports, but whatever.
Sports team.
Do you know that the the manager just got fired was Sonoma County, Brandon Hyde. I played baseball with him and basketball against him. So
that's good. I was calling for his firing 6 months ago.
I know. But he won Manager of the Year last year.
I hear you. Okay, let's stop bashing on the Orioles.
Back to
good old Kevin. So I have an engineering degree. I went to Cornell University. And Cornell's got this famous wines class where 600 people sit in an auditorium and they drink wine. And I thought this
every university should offer that.
Yeah, they really should.
Yeah, well, the amount of money I paid for that class was probably, I could have probably bought a lot of wine just to drink in my apartment. But so it kind of got me hooked. I didn't think that was what was going to happen, but it did. I started, right after college, I moved to New York City drinking wines at restaurants, getting a very international flair. because that's where New York City's wine scene is. Moved out to California about 2000, we'll call it, right before September 11th. Worked in the restaurant industry in Los Angeles, got more introduction to wines. But the real start was when I needed to go back to work after an untimely divorce because I was earning no money, and I found that eating was a real fun activity of mine. So I got a call from Sutter Home Winery, and they said, hey, come on up to Napa Valley, go work for us. And they ended up putting me through school. So I quit being a chef, went to work for Sutter Home. And that's when I started making wine in my garage, started with a half a ton of Syrah. It was only Syrah for the first few years because that's what I thought the best grape on the planet was until I discovered Pinot Noir. And
you can only go the other direction. Yeah, but that's
yeah, and then the production kept doubling every year until 2013. I may or may not have attempted 13 barrels of wine in my garage. Mostly Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Syrah, which is what I still make today. Those are basically the three things I make today, my three favorites. And that's when the unfortunate incident happened. I then went to all my business school friends and said, and professors, and I said, give me some money, let's start this thing. And we did in 2015. And I think I actually started working with your fruit in 2016. I think it was my first vintage. And it's grown ever since. So we're now up to about a couple thousand cases. Primarily, our number one thing is Pinot Noir, then Chardonnay, and then Syrah. In fact, I bought Syrah from that Lakeville vineyard from you guys for a while until you ripped it out.
It's coming back.
It's coming back. Yeah. Good, good. It's great. I drank a bottle the other day. But yeah. That's our main thing, and we're going to continue to do that. We are starting to branch into some Rhone variety. In the Petaluma Gap as well, because I think that's where the climate's going over the next 30 to 50 years. So don't be shocked to see Grenache pop out every
end of the day. I'm never shocked to see Grenache. Just happy.
It's a pretty grape, but it just doesn't get its due.
So. No, it doesn't. Yeah. But what were some of the pinots that really, you know, led you down that path? Like, did you just start, I mean, you're working at Sutter Home, you're on the Napa side, did you start drinking pinots from Sonoma County? Like, what was the path?
I think it was mostly Carneros back in the day.
Sure.
I think that's what had the initial reputation. I was living in Napa, so all the wines were Carneros. It turns out, and look, I like Carneros Pinot just fine. My jam spot, what ended up happening was, and things like Dellinger. Mm-hmm. I was saying it. Dellinger was one of those. Mm-hmm. Rocchioli was one of those. Arista was one of those pinots I found back in the day, and that's when the snowball started rolling downhill and it started gaining steam. So, you know, Kistler obviously, but I was on a budget. I mean, some of these pinots are so expensive that it's two or three Thursdays worth of pinot for one bottle. So, you know, Dutton Ranch was one of those vineyards I found where I liked everything. And then I forgot whose wine I tasted from San Giacomo. I was like, I have got to call up. And I think I called up your brother-in-law, Mike.
Yep.
And he gave me the lowdown. And I said, yes, sign me up. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was Sonoma Coast. So when I first started my winery in 2015, there was no Petaluma Gap. Mm-hmm. And when the Petaluma Gap formed, I realized every vineyard I was using was in the Petaluma Gap. So I said, I must like the Petaluma Gap.
Yeah.
So now almost every vineyard I use for Pinot Noir is in the Petaluma Gap. Right now it's three. It's San Giacomo, it's Gap's Crown, and it's Nightwing. And those are the three vineyards I'm going
great
with.
Sites.
Yeah, so they're all killer sites and beautiful place to make wine.
Hence why your tasting room is going to Petaluma, too.
And that's hence why we're going to Petaluma. So not being in Russian River made no sense. But
For sure.
Well, and so much to talk a little bit about, because we wanted to feature the Petaluma Gap AVA today. Nice to have winemaker, grower, two brands here. And there's a big event coming up in August, so we'll get into that later. But just, like, what is it, maybe starting, Steve, with you, what is it that's unique about Petaluma and from soils and climate and...
Yeah, I mean, I think the old wind wine is the name of the event you're talking about.
Yes.
Is apropos. I mean, there's, you know, Sonoma County has, you know, a lot of coastal influence all throughout, you know, the county, right? And I think with Petaluma Gap, you get a lot of more wind influence. We like to say the wind, you know, puts a little stress on the vines, mm-hmm. berries are a little smaller, there's a little more intensity, creates intensity in the fruit. You know, soils wise, it can vary. I mean, it's, there's, you know, that's soil types, as we know in Sonoma County, there's lots of different ones. There's, mm-hmm. what's the stat? There's more soil types
than all of France.
In all France, mm-hmm. exactly. So mm-hmm. I think for our sites, I mean, our Roberts Road has a lot more alluvial because there's a creek that Copan Creek went through there for centuries, so we have a lot of rock and stone, but I think it's just the, you know, Petaluma Gap is in, there's no easy place to farm, and definitely Petaluma Gap is not an easy, you get a lot of vine stress, and vine stress makes more attention for us farmers in the vineyard, make sure we're doing everything, we, you know, cross our T's, dotting our I's. So but stress, the more work you can put it, the better the wine is. So.
Well, just it feels like the Petaluma Gap, I mean, since, you know, it took a long time to get the mm-hmm. AVA approved. I remember that. And then once it's been approved, it just seems like it's been one of those AVAs that's really just taken off and in consumers' minds and trade minds. And would love to talk a little bit more about that when we come back after a break. But it has a lot of power, Petaluma Gap. So we'll be right back.
Powered by wind. Stuff.
Powered by wind.
There you go.
Good stuff. Talking all things Petaluma Gap with Kevin Brusofsky, owner, winemaker, Montagna Russe Wines, Steve San Giacomo, third generation wine grower, partner, San Giacomo Wines. And
speaking of wines,
yeah, okay.
So I see some wines in front
wine,
of us.
There's wine in studio, so that means we have to stop everything.
I mean,
let's have a moment.
Like, less talk, more wine and talk, since this is the good stuff.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Awkward,
I don't
you know,
I'm
silence.
Just saying, are we ready?
I think we're ready.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Count up. 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right. So we got one. We need another one.
I know.
Oh,
my God.
We got the same
I know.
Time.
Let's do it.
Oh, we could have synchronized the pop, you know?
I think stretch it out.
Thank you.
All right. Chris is happy now.
I know.
All right. Let's see if I can.
All right, Kevin, talk to me about this wine that just so beautifully ended up in my glass.
Well, this is Roberts Road Chardonnay. This is the... I'm 50, so I got to pull the bottle up to my... This is the 22 vintage Chardonnay, which we're just about out of. We're just about to release a 23. Our fastest selling Chardonnay. Once again, I think it's partly the name on the bottle, and I think partly it's what's in the bottle.
I was going to say, fun to have the farmer and the winemaker in front
always.
Of us.
Yeah.
And so
the story of this wine is, 22 is a very warm vintage. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone remembers. There's two vintages in our recent past that were hot, 22 and 17.
Yep.
Very similar. It was a nice, beautiful, cool vintage, and all of a sudden, it was hotter than the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the Petaluma Gap is usually 5 to 10 degrees cooler than everywhere else. I think it was 118 degrees in 22.
Oh my God.
And it was like 4 or 5 days. It was a long period of time.
That was a stressful time for the farmers. I remember that.
Something like 40% of Sonoma got picked in a week.
Yeah.
Which is, so you went from everything not being ready to everything being way beyond ready in a 7-day period.
And all the grape varieties at the same time.
Yeah. So the beauty of this vineyard is this vineyard doesn't really show the heat on this wine. That vineyard, Roberts Road, is cooler, lower down. The cold air sinks in, stays cool a large portion of the day until it burns off. So therefore, you get the benefit in those hot years. It's those vineyards that hold the acid, but you still get that fruit. And this is about 40% new French oak. I make exactly 5 barrels of it. 2 are new, 3 are used. And I only take the 60, 70 best cases and make a single vineyard out of it.
Yep, this is in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You can come back on the show.
Yeah, greatest city. Well, and it's that vineyard has, we always say like Sonoma Mountain is like a backstop, right? It's like a backboard, you know, whatever sport you want to call it, backstop, backboard, you know? And so the fog hits it and it just sits there. And that's where you get the cold air and the fog.
When I owned my vineyard on Sonoma Mountain, I was always would say I'm above the fog line. So I'd watch it just like rolling out there,
the
hanging out
there.
On Roberts Road.
And the great part about this is that Gap's Crown is across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And people think, well, it's got to be the same.
Totally different
climate. It's totally different. Yeah. And where on the hill you are is totally different. So I can pick grapes from Gap's Crown almost a month earlier than across the street. Wow. So, or a month later, depending on what elevation you are. So not only is it the wind, it's the elevation, it's the sun exposure, it's that alluvial soil, that back corner where that Chardonnay is, can ripen 3 or 4 weeks later than everything else, just on the same vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Really complex.
Well, and to your point about like, these vintages that sometimes come out of nowhere and they're so hot for so long, like you want to be in the Petaluma Gap.
100%.
And so are you seeing that kind of just, you know, with the, you know, the way growers and winemakers are kind of working with the fruit? Is there just increased interest in Petaluma Gap?
There is, and I can speak from Maryville's point of view. We were Carneros for all of our Chardonnay and Pinot. Hmm. And with the climate changing the way it is, there are certain AVAs in California that are weathering, pardon the pun, I guess, weathering.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, exactly. Punny, I don't even know it. But that marine influence, that wind, the late day rise in temperatures and the early evening reduction in temperatures really insulates that area from a lot of this hot weather that's going on. So that's why I hate when people say, hey, this vintage was this, because what are you talking about? The Gap rarely, you can always make a well-balanced wine with a lot of acid and good fruit if you want to do it, if that's your jam spot. Mm. If you want to make that opulent, ripe Pinot Noir or ripe Chardonnay made popular by a certain someone back in the 90s, go for it. You can totally do that too. But that's not what the Gap should be used for.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's a hummingbird, not a bald eagle. You know, it's delicate. You can, it's nimble, it's pretty, it's beautiful. A little bit more Burgundian.
Right. Yeah. And so how do the growers and the winemakers kind of work together to get this part of the story out, to get wines in front of people? I mean, it's been such an important part of telling the Petaluma Gap story is you got to get out there and show people the wines. So it seems like a pretty integrated group of people, would you say?
That's what the Wind to Wine Festival's for.
Okay, well.
Well, we just teed that up.
There we go.
Good job.
Okay, but it's not the only thing. But let's talk about the festival. What is it? What can people do? When is it?
So it's August 8th to August 10th. So it's a 3-day. The festival is not 3-day, but there's 3 days of activities.
So my birthday is the 7th. So basically you're inviting a bunch of people in to celebrate my
that's
birthday
it. We're,
for 4 days
that's,
straight.
That's,
I mean,
that's what
you
I
just,
heard.
You can continue.
Our producer doesn't think anyone would do that for me. Why are you laughing, Jeff?
We're going to need to see some ID to make
totally.
Sure you're old enough to attend this festival.
Yes.
It'll be a special birthday party.
I know,
you know,
right? Yeah. Just me and a bunch of good friends out in the vineyard.
There it is.
50 bottles.
For sure. So there's 2 dinners on Friday. The Fork Colony Center in Panther Ridge Vineyard. They're doing dinners on Friday for it. On Saturday, we are doing vineyard walks sponsored by the Sonoma County Woo-hoo. Wine Grape Commission.
See how this all
nice. Right? So we're doing vineyard walks at our Roberts Road Vineyard. We're going to do a vineyard walk and we'll do some little wine tasting and out in the vineyard and little bites.
Nice. Okay.
And then Lehigh Hill Vineyard, which is nearby there, is doing a vineyard walk as well. And then on Saturday afternoon, McCrossey's doing a taste at their Nightwing Vineyard at their tasting room. And then the grand finale of the Sunday is the grand tasting at the Backdrop in Santa Rosa with Sonoma Family Meal, and Chef Charlie Palmer will be there as well.
Heard of him.
So it's a new venue for the Window Wine. It used to be at the last couple of years, it was in I'm escaping my name. They have a beautiful barn in Petaluma. It'll come to me. And Gaminini Ranch, yep. they had it. And then, so now we're doing it, they're doing a remodel of their facility. Mm-hmm. And so this year it's going to be at the Backdrop, which is a new indoor-outdoor venue in Santa Rosa that is owned by the Becoming Independent. So
I know exactly.
So they're nice enough, and we're going to do some partnerships with them to support their nonprofit as well.
That's great.
So what year is this of this event? Because you've had a few before, yeah?
I think it's
like your fourth, right?
Fourth. And we may get in trouble for not knowing that.
Fifth. There's cover bases. Fourth or fifth.
It's not your first.
Not yet. It's at least the fourth or fifth. Yeah. Correct.
Popular event. People come from all over. They learn
there'll be
lots of
25 wineries pouring with the food that I mentioned. So all different styles of wine, and the wonderful artistic expression of the growers and vintners will be on display.
Right. Well, and I love that you're doing the vineyard walks. We were talking earlier just about our Truck Talk experience, Steve, that you have often taken guests out on, Psalms and Consumers, but just getting folks out in the vineyard, there's nothing that beats that, I think, for really connecting the wine to the place, to Sonoma County, to the experience. I mean, so I love that part, which is why we're sponsoring that, because it supports the farmers, but really supports the education for consumers of the role of farming in the great glass of wine.
It doesn't magically appear in the glass.
It doesn't just magically. People are out there having to do something.
Yeah,
with it.
It starts
they have to
in
grow
the
something. You actually have to grow something something, right?
Exactly. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Okay, we have to take a quick break. We will come back and talk more about Petaluma Gap. Stuff with our friends from Petaluma Gap, and now we're having Pinot Noir. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about what you poured.
It's Pinot time. My favorite variety. So, we're born, this is our Roberts Road 2023 5 clone. So, it's all from our Roberts Road vineyard. So, we do a few iterations of Roberts Road in our kind of wine portfolio. So, we do a Roberts Road, ferment all the clones separately, and we create a Roberts Road vineyard designate. And then we actually do three clones we'll take separate, and we'll do clonal expressions just for a wine club taste room. And then we decided, it was kind of all one of our dreams is like one day if we could just take all the 5 clones over there and kind of put them all together, just kind of like a field bank clone. So we created in 2000. First was 2021, and reason we did it because we didn't have a 2020 red vintage, and we wanted a style that was more riper and ready because we had to release it. So James McPhail's our winemaker, and so we told James he's having ideas. So let's pick it. The stuff that at the end is kind of a cleanup is always the ripest.
Yep.
It's a little more just kind of bigger in style. And so we created the 5 clone. We released it in 21, 2 months later, and then it was big success in our tasting room. So every year we do an iteration of it. So it's 5. It's Mount Eden, 777, Clone 115, Pommard, and Swan.
Nice.
Yep. So that's kind of all put together.
Some classic clones.
Yeah, exactly. So they're all just kind of picked obviously at the same time, put in, fermented together, and just you kind of get the best of the best. So of each clone.
So is this what folks are going to be drinking when they're hanging out with you in the vineyard?
Yes, this will be it. It's a 23 vintage.
Winter wine.
Winter
wine.
2023 vintage, which Kevin touched on the 22, which was warmer, but 23 was the coolest, latest. Harvest vintage in our history.
Right. I mean, no one started. You didn't even start for sparkling until September, right?
September. We picked almost everything in October. Like, it was crazy.
It was like your 1 month harvest.
And we got the magical September heat spike. I mean, obviously, the 22 heat spike wasn't magical, but the 23. 23 was a magical. We got 3 or 4 days of not quite 117, but and it got everything perfectly ripe. And there's a while in 23, we're mid to September, we're all looking at each other. Are we going to get there?
I know.
It was dicey.
No, but the 23 wines are, I mean, this 22 you poured is delicious, but the 23 wines now, everyone's releasing them, are amazing.
It's
a great vintage.
It's a really good vintage.
Yeah. I found in 23 there were a lot of winemakers that wanted to have lunch in September. They were just kind of like
hanging out.
I'm just sitting around. I got nothing to do.
It's nerve-wracking.
I'm like,
yeah. It's nerve-wracking.
I can't fill your time.
You're supposed to be almost done with harvest and you haven't started.
I know. It was a stressful year.
October 31st was an interesting day. I think I harvested 8 varietals on the same day.
No, that was just you all. I mean, all the farmers were just crunched, the wineries, and all of a sudden, overnight, you're full. The tanks are full. It was like, what just happened?
I don't know how we did it. I don't know how. It's like every year when I finish harvest, I'm like, how do we do it? But especially 23.
Every year during when harvest is coming, your body starts getting a little tense. Yeah. You got that feeling like you're a rock star going on tour.
Yep.
And then when it doesn't
happen. Welcome to the stage, Bono.
Yeah. I have a Bono impression. We'll do it later. But you get nervous and you're waiting a month.
I don't think we really started till October.
No. And that's weird.
And you can't go anywhere. You can't do something else. So you just have to wait.
We picked sparkling October 1st.
Sparkling Chardonnay October 1st. But we've done it as early as mid-July.
It was amazing. Yeah. Just a great vintage.
Yeah.
So for sure. Well, we should tell people how they can get tickets to bring it full circle, gentlemen, since we're here talking about the Win to Wine Festival, which is August 8th through the 10th. Experiencing all things Petaluma Gap. Mm-hmm. So lots of Chardonnays, lots of Pinots, some Syrahs.
Is there a Grenache? Will there be a Grenache?
I bet there will be.
Not yet.
Come and find out.
It's still waiting. Waiting.
Will your tasting room be open in Petaluma by then?
Well, if the California ABC gets its act together and issues a permit, we're ready to go anytime they are. But
make sure you follow those ABC
following the rules to the T.
Good job, Kevin.
Tickets are available at PetalumaGap.com. Simple as that.
Fantastic.
Very easy website. Click and buy.
That's all we want.
Multiple times.
Yeah. Okay. And you can buy all the different events probably separately or maybe a package.
Yeah,
too.
They're separate. There's no package.
So you can choose your own Petaluma Gap adventure.
Exactly. And hopefully you choose them all.
Yeah, as you should. Yeah.
Okay, we're taking a quick break. We're going to come back to wrap up the show in a minute. Tickets for the Win to Wine Festival, August 8th through 10, PetalumaGap.com. Could not be simpler, PetalumaGap.com. All right, we're doing Tuesday Night Wines. We have invited our guests to contribute their thoughts.
And we did force a theme, we should just be honest. We forced a Petaluma Gap theme, which wasn't really forcing, but honoring.
We happily chose to focus on Petaluma Gap wine. So, Carissa, go.
I mean, in Chardonnays and Pinots, primarily in Petaluma Gap, and Syrah, which you know I love Syrah. So, I am, and not just because he's one of my bosses, but I am going to choose the San Giacomo.
He is looking at you
wines.
Very
and do you like
intently
that?
Right now.
And staying in Roberts Road at that vineyard and going to do the 23 Chardonnay because I love it. So, that's a great Tuesday night wine.
Okay, Kevin.
All right, Kevin, no pressure.
I'm going to do Maryville's Sunchase Pinot Noir 23. 23 is a great vintage, pretty wine. That's my Tuesday all day.
All right,
I like that.
And I'm going to take from the in-house library here. And
I love it.
Kevin brought the Montagne Russe 2021 library, almost a library, Petaluma Gap Pinot Noir from the Gap's Crown. So I'm going to, I can take that with me.
How does that work? Do you feel like you're cheating on your own vineyard when you're drinking the vineyard across the street?
No, I love I love drinking everybody's wine.
I like that.
I love everybody's wine.
Sonoma County wine.
It's Sonoma County wine.
There you go.
Okay, well, and I...
Round us out.
I will bring to the party a McCrosty Nightwing Vineyard 21 Pinot. It was mentioned earlier before. Great wine, great people, great vineyard. What else do we need? Nothing.
I think that's it.
Okay.
I mean, all good Tuesday night wines.
Go to the event, PetalumaGap.com. Are you going to be there for the vineyard walk, Carissa? Are you going to be leading a vineyard walk?
Well, I will be celebrating a birthday right before that. So
I know,
we'll have to see how I feel.
No, but maybe
kidding.
It's a big surprise.
I'll be there with someone from the wine.
I know.
Maybe Leah.
Will be there. Yeah. No, we'll definitely have someone from the wine growers there celebrating that folks are out in the vineyard. great way to experience wine.
Any other events coming up that people should know about? Are you going out on the road, Petaluma Gap going out on the road? Or hey, what about a record pick for Tuesday? Tuesday night record pick?
Record pick. This is super deep cut. Local band that only produced two albums. Mike Rutherford produced it from
Genesis.
Red 7. I just found it in a collection. Look it up. I thought it sounded like something you find out on Miami Vice, and it turns out one of their songs was featured on Miami Vice.
No, stop.
100%.
There you go.
Incredible.
So does that go better with Chardonnay or Pinot?
I think it's a dirty Syrah.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Well, with that, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.